You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, June 22nd, 2011. This is episode 189, Wells Hacker, PDFs and YouVersion. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Martin Spriggs, along with our co-host, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Welcome back after a bit of a break for us. We recorded two shows the last time we recorded, so we were both away for a while, and now we're back at it. And actually, I'm going to be away for a while again. I don't know about you, but I'm heading to Milwaukee for the LWMS International Convention. I'm way excited about that.
Nice, nice. Yeah. So we're doing a little record ahead as well. But yeah, we were on opposite ends of the kind of opposite poles of the country. You were in the UP, right, for
That's a little while,
and I was in Central Florida. So they set record highs when we were down there. So we got to enjoy 96 degrees, 97 degrees, and about the same in humidity. So it was a nice experience. But
yeah, we
like
wrapped
the heat
up in our sweatshirts. We weren't feeling the heat at all.
It
was nice and cool, but enjoying the campfires.
But it was good to see family. I've got my mom down there, sister down there, and a brother-in-law down there. So we were visiting lots of different family members and doing lots of driving and staying away from the computer, actually. I don't know about you. In fact, we're going to have a blog post here that talks a little bit about what you did on vacation. But I looked a little bit at my iPhone for email, opened the computer maybe once or twice, but mostly for looking for things to do, not for work-related things. So I was a good boy.
No, I have to laugh because it wasn't me that was so computer-oriented. It was my husband and my son. It took their laptops along. But for relaxation, they like to program. So they were like programming to their heart's desire. It was a real thrill for them to sit by the campfire with their laptops. Kind of funny.
Nice.
That's
whatever.
Yeah.
So each his or her own. Well, we're going to continue our series on Wells Hacker. Just as a reminder for maybe somebody just tuning in to the show and has maybe missed the last couple weeks, this usually we do some kind of summer series. So it's the topic du jour this summer is kind of a takeoff on one of the blogs that both you and I read, Sally, and that's Life Hacker. We thought maybe there are some things that we could focus on each week that would provide some helpful tips and hints and step-by-steps that relate to some ministry topics and ways to use your computer better, be a better steward of the resources God has given you. And so we called it Life Hacker, and we're basically using our blogs, sallydraper.com and martinspriggs.com, to post our Wells Hacker post for the week, and then we talk about it on the show.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I've been getting some feedback. I don't know about you, Martin, but trying to spread the show out over the week instead of just being a Wednesday podcast release, we're releasing these blog posts over the weekend, basically, or midweek, so that people can comment if possible. So that's been a fun aspect of it as well, is to get a little bit of feedback, and we'll share some of that even in the community feedback as we get to that portion of the show later. So.
Yeah, it kind of comes out when we get them written. And you were a little sooner than I, so you actually had yours out on Sunday, and mine came out last night, but it's there in time for the podcast. So what are you talking about, or what were you talking about this week, Sally, on your blog?
This week it was a real simple topic called merging PDFs, and I call myself a Web 2.0 fangirl. I just love all the things that you can do online, not even having to have local software installed to make use of some of these tools. And so this week, actually, this merge PDF function became a really vital thing for me as I was working on some huge documentation updates, and I needed to merge it all into some big mega files. So maybe I had 30 files total, and I wanted to condense it down to three. And without having the Adobe PDF Creator Professional version, which is a little bit pricey, I believe, I didn't want to spend that kind of money just to be able to merge my 30 files, which is kind of a, like a once a year kind of process for me. I found the website mergepdf.net. I uploaded my files and just like that, was able to download a merged version of the files. So I thought that might be useful to some of our listeners and wanted to share that technology with them. I think in the blog post I say I'm always kind of looking for ministry type uses for these kind of things. And I know our church secretary puts together a great church newsletter, but oftentimes she'll receive outside flyers and things that aren't part of the content she created, but are just add-ons to the newsletter creation process. And this way, if you have your newsletter in PDF and you have your flyers in PDF, you can merge them into one document and have a consolidated newsletter with all those extra things you can easily make physical copies of. But this way, you can also merge them into one document for posting on your website or emailing out or whatever it may be.
PDFs are definitely the standard for document sharing online. It's a free reader, and in most browsers now come with built-in PDF viewers or can, and that's a really helpful thing for churches and schools to remember to rather than post documents in their original native format, which viewers may or may not have on their system, so they may not be able to read it. PDF is just a great way to ensure that people can read it. It reduces the file size, and it also maintains the integrity of the design, and that's kind of the appeal of PDFs, and then being able to merge them all together rather than publishing a bunch of different ones and say, click here, click here, click here, you've got it all in one nice package.
Yeah, and I actually heard from Leslie Bergerman, who's a member, I believe, in West Allis, Good Shepherd in West Allis. And she read my blog post and left a comment that she had a little bit of an issue with a watermark on the PDF document. And I didn't have that issue. I didn't find any watermarks at all in the merged documents that I did. But I think maybe she used a little bit different process than I did. One thing Leslie mentioned in her comment was that she also makes use of Cute PDF, which is a free download that you can install on your computer locally. And it installs like a printer driver. And when you go to print something, instead of printing to a printer, you can select to print to Cute PDF.
Right.
And that's how Leslie creates her individual PDF documents. So that was a great mention. Something I didn't address in my blog post. I was more focused on merging existing PDF documents. But if you have something that you want to turn into a PDF, that's a great little utility to make use of as well. So lots of options there for PDFing things. And like I said, I know that's a valuable tool, especially when you're dealing with church and school websites for sharing information. We just put our new school year calendar up on our school website. And, of course, we posted it in PDF format so people could download it and print off the one-year calendar.
Yep. So. Very good. So, and if you'd like to read more about web-based PDF merging, just head on over to sallydraper.com, and it's the post from June 18th.
That's
very
right.
Good. Nice job. I focused on a online tool as well. This one is one that I've mentioned many times before, and that's YouVersion, put out by lifechurch.tv. They've got a programming team over there that has built basically an online Bible. Not just online, it's certainly got a web-based component, but it's also available for mobile platforms. And it was one of the products that we reviewed back, 6 months ago, Sally, when we were looking at different online Bible or mobile Bibles.
Right.
I was looking at Android, and I think you were looking at iPod or iPad / iOS flavors of all these, and YouVersion was one of those. And it's the one that I basically have been using for a couple years. But I focus in my blog post on a specific feature that I find very useful in my use of YouVersion, and that's the ability to take notes or to type notes, basically. When you use the online tool, and my blog post really talks about the web version, but it also applies to the handheld or the mobile applications as well, you can select essentially any verse and take notes, or series of verses and take notes. And you have a lot of different options when you're doing that note taking. You can make it private so only you can see it. So you're annotating the Bible, and I find that really helpful for me to dig a little bit deeper into the Word and not just essentially read it passively, but actively engage with it, write some notes, maybe even journal about it, those kinds of things. So you can keep those private, or you can actually publish those so that other people can read your notes. And it has a full WYSIWYG editor, so you can add any kind of formatting you want. You can include imagery, YouTube videos, Flickr images, even Vimeo files. So I found it is a helpful tool even for evangelism purposes, where other people are reading kind of the Lutheran perspective or Lutheran commentary on a particular verse. And we can even include videos on different aspects or different doctrines. We have a number of those kinds of real solid doctrinal presentations on our Vimeo feed, on our Wells channel on Vimeo. The Communicating Christ series is really good for that, where you can put that into your commentary, and other people can see that and get the Lutheran perspective on a particular passage. But for the most part, I like the ability just to annotate. I take either my iPhone or my iPad to Bible class, and as something strikes me during the course of the Bible class, I just click on the verse that's in question and type my notes, determine whether I want it private or public, and away it goes. So I've really enjoyed that particular feature of YouVersion. And another thing that I didn't mention in the blog post, Sally, that I like to do is to compare translations. Now, with the new NIV out, what I can do on the YouVersion, web version of YouVersion, is click parallel. There's a parallel button on the screen there, and you can actually bring up the old NIV, the 84 NIV, and then the 2010 or 2011, I forget what they're calling it now, NIV, and compare, and it keeps the readings in sync so you can see what the differences are. So they've done a nice job. They really have brought the Bible to life here with a nice tool that makes it really easy to read and fun to read too.
I think you do a great job of explaining, Martin, because there's so much here. You really have to kind of get your brain into it. So mm-hmm. I appreciate that you included some screenshots and things so that it kind of walks me through how to do that. I like having my electronic Bible and Bible class, and it does allow me to kind of take it away, you know, what we were talking in Bible class about. And also it's neat to kind of come across those notes later on and be reminded of that discussion and what we were studying in Bible class and things like that. So mm-hmm. I think, again, like I said, I think it's more about getting your head into it and being consistent with it for a little while before you start seeing the benefits of adopting a note-taking plan for your Bible. But I love the cross-platform capabilities there. And now with my iPad, I think I'll be doing more and more of that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So,
one thing I forgot to mention is that because they're working on different platforms, and obviously you need a login, a username and password to keep everything in sync. But if you enter a note on the web version, it appears on your iPhone or your iPad version or your Android version as well, and vice versa, which is really handy. So you basically have your annotations wherever you go. Now, back in the old days, you would basically write in your Bibles. Now, when I was in college and seminary, that was highly encouraged, and I did a lot of that. So I've got a Bible that is in pieces at this point, you know, because of the use with all those notes, but with this electronic version, then they're there with whatever version you're looking at. So it's kind of cool.
Very good. So we'd love to hear from our listeners. If they're merging PDFs or writing in their electronic Bibles, we'd like to hear your feedback on our blog post this week and your thoughts on making use of these new digital tools that can make your ministry efforts easier. So
either either comment on our blog post directly or go to our show notes page where all this information will be as well, and let us know what you think. Mm-hmm.
So
community feedback.
We should probably move on. Yeah, we have a lot of community feedback to share this week. First up, we heard from Jimmy Holub, and we had talked to Jimmy a while back. He had shared some thoughts on Facebook pages versus Facebook groups, and at the time he was a lot more in favor of pages. Groups were kind of the forerunner of pages, and they kind of lost their power once pages really came into popularity on Facebook. And so at the time, we kind of questioned why even bother having a group. Maybe the page is just the way to go. Jimmy wrote to us recently and said, with the new changes in Facebook, it may actually be worthwhile for some groups to have both a page and a group. Mm-hmm. The groups have become very intimate. Groups work well for smaller groups of people trying to communicate with each other on a peer-to-peer level. And groups can be private so that other people can't see that group communication. So that's one advantage there. He says pages work well for broadcasts from a main source where followers simply view or react without a lot of communication. It said he did notice that the groups page doesn't have an events tab. I shouldn't call it a groups page, but the group function doesn't have an events tab, whereas the page function does. And events are more calendar-centric kind of activities that are going on. And so if you want to have events scheduled, like say you have Vacation Bible School coming up or whatever it may be, and advertise those, you're going to really need to do that through a page instead of a group. So pluses and minuses to each, but I do see and I agree with Jimmy, the place for Facebook groups, especially with small group kind of communication. So thanks for the follow-up on that, Jimmy.
Yep.
Next up, there were some comments about the Wells Online app, Martin. We've been talking about that over the past few months, that we have a brand new Wells Online available for both Apple operating systems as well as Android. And one thing that came up was there's an old Android app that was out there floating around. And actually, you and I played with an app creation tool probably 2 years ago in making that Android app. And now hopefully we've taken that off the market. So you won't necessarily find that one anymore. The new app is called Wells Online. So don't be fooled into using the old app. The old app had advertising in it, which we couldn't control. And the new app has no advertising or anything. It's just the pure Wells content fed to you. And we've been getting a lot of positive feedback. Although I had one interesting interaction on Twitter with Dale Witte, who asked a question about the Wells app. He said that when he exits the app, the Bible reading or whatever audio he's listening to continues to play. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Why is that happening? Please fix it." And I had to chuckle, and I wrote back and said, "That keeps playing for a reason. That's the way it's designed. So you can multitask on your device. So you can have it playing in the background and go out of the application and do other things while it continues to play. That's similar to the way Pandora works, I know." Mm-hmm. And so the only way to stop the audio is actually to go to the page in the app, in the Wells Online app, and the audio controls will drop down from the top of the screen, and you can press pause there. And he said it does make sense to him now that I explained it, but he had some challenges finding those audio controls in the app. And I agree. I had some challenges too, but, you know, I don't think that's unlike any of the other apps that I've been dealing with. I mean, they all have, you have to figure out how they work. And that's how the Wells Online app works. It has audio controls available to you if you want to pause it or stop it when you exit the app, if the podcast you're listening to isn't complete yet. But otherwise, we think it's a real benefit to be able to play the podcast in the background and go on and multitask on other things on your device, or even cut your screen off so that you're not wasting the screen energy while your audio is playing in the background.
Yep. So I noticed the same thing, and there's, because of the tool we're using, we don't have total control over the interface, the audio controls on the screen. So if you do have the app, and I noticed the same thing when I first started using it, you have to kind of click at the exact right spot at the top of the screen to get those audio controls to show up again, so you can pause or stop the application. So just bear that in mind. But yeah, that is, it is a feature. So
a feature. Aren't we good to our people?
That's right. So
very good. I'm just trying to figure out how exactly to do that, but
it can be a little finicky.
Yeah. So. All right. Next up, we heard from Dave Scharr, who's out in Hemlock, Michigan, and he wrote to tell us how much he appreciates the podcast and streaming content that we make available through the WellStreams website. And he asked that we make an announcement to all our listeners, and that is that if you're providing streaming audio-type content, podcast sermons maybe or whatever, on your website, to make sure you don't just provide them through iTunes, but you also provide an RSS feed available on your site to that content. Some people aren't iOS users. They don't use iTunes to sync up all the different audio that they subscribe to, and they do it primarily through RSS feeds. Dave, in particular, has a Zune player, mm-hmm. and he just really is comfortable with using the RSS feeds instead of iTunes to get content on his Zune. So I think that's great from a usability standpoint to have somebody that's willing to point that out to us, that as we design our websites, maybe we think everybody is using iTunes to get to audio content, but there are plenty of users out there that use other methods, and having those RSS feeds readily available is appreciated by those users.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave, for the comment. And I think that's a great idea.
Next up, a few comments on my most recent Wells Hacker post, the one about photo organization, where I told you the secrets of my extensive digital directories and how I organize them with dates and that kind of thing. First, we heard from Philip Wells, who said that he wasn't real happy with Apple's iPhoto. I know Phil is a Mac user, and so he actually wrote his own little program to help him sort and organize his photos. It shows him the photos in a folder one at a time, and he can give it a folder, subfolder, and file name, renames the files, and places it in the right folder. So for those of you with programming knowledge, that might be a good option for you to write your own little utility that will sort through. I just know we're all dealing with these masses of digital photos mm-hmm. these days, and so having something to deal with it is definitely a plus. Joshua Johnson also posted that he uses folders by year, month, and date, and then he uses Picasa, which is a free download from the web, and syncs his folders to the web via the Picasa interface.
Which is a Google product.
Then he can get to his photos from anywhere because they're out in the cloud. So that's a great suggestion, Joshua. I know I've played with Picasa some, Martin. I'm not sure if you have.
I have, yep.
I get kind of frustrated because it does things. It's kind of like iTunes. They all have their own storage logic and mm-hmm. things. So if you import things into Picasa, it seems like maybe things get duplicated in multiple places, or it can get confusing. Maybe that's just my little brain not wrapping around it.
I haven't used Picasa in about a year, but I thought the way it worked is you leave everything where it is, and Picasa just essentially indexes it, which was one of the features of it, and then it uploads that to your Google account, essentially, and it uses your Gmail storage, which, what is that, about 7 or 8 gigs at this point,
yes.
for your picture storage, and you can upgrade that. So it's actually a pretty cool tool. I thought one of the neatest parts about Picasa also was facial recognition. I thought it did a better job of that and a better interface than iPhoto does. So that was one of the intrigues. And I store most of my photos now on a Mac, my Mac Mini at home, so I'm using, you know, iPhoto to do that. But that was one of the things I missed about leaving Picasa.
Okay. Well, great feedback on photo organization. I think it's something we all have to deal with, mm-hmm. so we appreciate different ideas there. Last up, I wanted to mention a couple of links that were shared by our Digo group. First up is a blog post. It is from the Google Latitude lat-long blog, so the Google Earth blog, basically. And there's a blog post that was posted recently about showcasing your business with a 360-degree perspective and how you can add images of your business and even take them with 360-degree imagery, and it walks through some of the tools that you might use to do that. This link was shared in the Digo group by Randy Nesbitt, and he made the comment, if professional quality photos are used by congregations and parochial church schools, this would be a great advertising and pre-evangelism and recruitment tool. So it may be worth investing the time to include some images in the Google Earth image library of your location, so that as people are searching Google Earth, they can actually see what things look like there. So, great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other link I think I actually shared, I thought this was a cool post from the Whiteboard blog. It's titled 10 Fab Flickr Groups for Teachers.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, exactly. And basically it points to some different Flickr groups, and you know, we love social media and the collective nature of it. And this is where the power of that shows, is when you get into these groups and can see all these different mashups of photos coming from a lot of different locations. There's one called Bad Maths, where they have pictures of things that is that are incorrect math from different stores and things. So you could use it like with your students for what's wrong with this picture kind of starter activities. There's images for teaching different languages. There's geometric beauty, a geometric beauty group that has lots of shapes and things that you can make use of in a math lesson. There's images of classroom displays. So get inspiration from other teachers as to different displays they've set up in their classroom. There's one that might be of interest to biology teachers called Life Sciences Teacher Resource Group, and one for physics teachers as well, the Physics Classroom Flickr Group. So lots of different subject areas that are covered in some really cool Flickr groups where you could get some imagery and ideas to use in your own classroom. So check it out.
I was, when I looked at this, I thought, boy, that who'd have thought that you'd have, you know, that many categories specific with just real quality imagery. I was looking at that bad math one, and some of those are I think could be extremely useful for a lot of different classroom applications, and humorous as well.
Mm-hmm. So the power of the people, huh? Mm-hmm. That's social media working for us. So.
Yep. It almost makes, it almost forces you into a kind of a social media mindset when you're walking through a store or looking at a newspaper ad and you see something like that, let's say bad math. Yeah, you know, you almost have to think, well, I should take a picture of that and put it on Flickr. Not everybody obviously thinks about that in that way, but it looks like a lot of people do. So
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yes.
Well, next week, Sally, you're going to tell us about your family vacation.
I went cold turkey and used my iPad only.
iPad only experience, right? And I'm going to talk about browsing without a mouse, if you think that's possible. So tune in next week for our continuing series called Wells Hacker. Let's close the show with the music of Cross to Glory, My Grace Will Do, from the album Life's Song. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
And the dog is always biting, and I think I'm better off dead. A whole lot of this, not enough of that, always happening in my day. I need a miracle, the supernatural, just to get me on my way. What the Lord said, my grace will do. I'll see you through. Nothing in this world is greater than my word, and the good news it proclaims. My grace will
heading down the road, got such a heavy load with the future on my mind. I wanna get ahead, keep dipping in the red, a lasting peace I just can't find. A whole lot of this, not enough of that, always happening in my life. I need a miracle, the supernatural, just to keep me from my stride. But the Lord said my grace will do. I'll see you through. Nothing in this world is greater than my word and the good news it proclaims. My grace will do. Send us to the world, to every boy and girl, as a witness to your name. You call salt and light, but can feel like such a blight with rejection and the shame. A whole lot of this, not enough of that, always happening in this call. I need a miracle, the supernatural, just to keep me above it all. But the Lord said my grace will do. I'll see. Nothing in this world is greater than my word and the good news it proclaims. My grace will do. And the Lord said, my grace will do. I'll see you through. Nothing in this world is greater than my word and the good news it proclaims. My